Have you heard of the little church that could? Join Pastor Bob Enyart at Denver Bible Church for Sunday school at 9:30 a.m., worship service from 10:50 until noon, and our Sunday evening Bible study at 6 p.m. Located at Two Roads School at 7180 Oak Street in Arvada, Colorado. Join us on Sundays as we study the meat of the Word of God, to worship our awesome Creator and to equip the saints for the service of the Lord. Children are a blessing from God, but when parents reject and ignore His wisdom and teaching about parenting, children can grow up to be a curse to their parents and to the world around them. What does the Bible say about parents and children, education, and child discipline? Pastor Bob Enyart covers this powerful and critical topic in his teaching series, Raising Godly Children. Order by calling 800-8-ENYART or online at kgovstore.com.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to another episode of Real Science Friday. I'm Bob Enyart. A well-known atheist on YouTube, Aaron Ra, has agreed to talk with us here, and it seems that we're both willing to cover a number of topics, including the topic that Aaron Ra said that he prefers first, and that is honesty in inquiry, being honest. And then perhaps a topic of my choosing, say, the age of the earth, and maybe the Big Bang, and then evolution, which could also incorporate what he says remains unanswered, his challenge of phylogeny. Phylogeny is the proposed evolutionary pathway that connects all species. As Darwin sketched out a tree of life in a rudimentary way in his notebook, that is Aaron Ra's phylogeny challenge. So we'll see if we get to that. So welcome, Aaron Ra, to Real Science Friday.
How you do?
Well, I'm doing great. How are you?
Doing well.
All right. Aaron Ra, you have nearly a half a million views for your first foundational falsehood of creationism on YouTube, that evolution equals atheism. I'm wondering first, though, if we could start on some common ground. If you could think of any common ground that you and I might have, and I could think of a couple things. You point out that faith-healing televangelists are frauds, and we've done many shows on that topic. In fact, way back in 1991, we started our daily talk show here on America's number one most powerful Christian radio station, and we just recently did a devastating expose of Mike Murdoch, as we've done with Benny Hinn and Jim Baker and so many others. So we agree there, no, that the televangelist healers are frauds.
I'd be happy to agree with that, yes.
All right, that's cool. All right, and then maybe there's one other thing. In 20 years, I've had the opportunity to interview and debate many atheists, evolutionists, and scientists. And perhaps you can agree with me now on a biblical issue, something that Michael Shermer, I think you know, Michael, that he and I have talked about. He's the atheist, the skeptic, and an editor at Scientific American. And even though I know that you strongly disagree with the teachings of the Bible, would you agree that while much of the ancient world was worshiping the sun, that when the Bible prohibited worshiping of the heavenly bodies, that it was essentially correct when it said on the first page in Genesis chapter 1, that the sun is a light? So would you agree at least with that much, that when the Bible teaches that the sun is not a god and it shouldn't be worshipped as a god, and that in fact the sun is a light, would you agree with that?
I would say that the sun is certainly a light, but it doesn't say that it is the light that it's talking about in Genesis. Neither does it ever say for sure, at least in Genesis, that it's not God.
Well, that's in the Pentateuch. There is a warning to the Israelites and whoever comes across their teachings that we should not worship the sun or the moon or the stars. I could give you chapter and verse, but that's in one of the books that one of the first five books of the Hebrew Bible and the Christian Bible.
Okay, we see you have light exist first, and then God creates the sun.
Right.
So, I mean, they're clearly distinguishing.
Oh, yeah, I agree. The sun is not the only source of light in the universe. You agree with that. I agree with that. And the Bible agrees with that. Because light comes from the stars also. But the sun is the greater light that gives light to the earth and the half of the rotation that we call the day. So it seems like at least you and I are able to talk and have some common ground. That's a beginning, I think.
All right, let's see how far it goes.
Okay, sounds good. Well, how about then we jump into your first foundational falsehood of creationism video. In the introduction of it, you're building up to what you say is the first foundational falsehood, and you give percentages of Americans who believe evolution is supported by the facts, those who say it's one of many theories not supported by the facts, and those who say, I don't know. I realize this is a minor thing, right? Scientific truth isn't decided by polls or public opinion. But to compare your numbers, I just looked up the latest Gallup poll on this and see if this matches your understanding from less than a year ago at Gallup.com. They said that only 6% of the respondents had no opinion or didn't know, that 40% of Americans say that God made man in our present form, and another 38% say that God guided man's evolution. So that's a full 78% of Americans who say that either God guided our evolution or that he specially created us. That's consistent with your understanding?
That's pretty close, yes. I mean, the numbers fluctuate somewhat, and the results also seem to matter on how you ask the question.
Oh, yeah.
If you use the word evolution, you're going to get fewer people who agree. But if you describe evolution by what it actually is, you get more people who agree.
Well, that's why I think what Gallup did is they asked, do you think that God was not involved in the development of man, or that God did create man in his present form, or that God was involved in the development of man? So they did what you're suggesting. They've obviously learned how to get a more accurate response. And so they say 6% say they have no idea. 16% say it was without God, only natural forces brought man about. And then 78% say either God created us or he guided the process.
Well, the way they've asked the question is actually very encouraging, if that's the kind of responses that they got. Because the issue for people like myself are science advocates is not whether or not you believe in God. It's whether or not you accept the facts of science.
Yeah, and I think it's rather important that people accept the facts of science. I'd say that's super important. You then you add to those statistics when you say that 95% of scientists support evolution, and then you describe that as a complete consensus. Now, I don't want to dispute your specific claim that 95% of, I imagine, working scientists...
Well, actually, I said more than 95%. I was referring to a specific poll that specialized in biologists and geologists, in which case, I believe the statistic was something like 98.87% of all of the Earth and life scientists responded that evolution was a simple, inescapable fact of biology, whereas less than, I think, 1% of the people who responded there had a prior religious conviction to reject the scientific conclusion.
All right.
And if you look at what is pure, I mean, in terms of like, you know, precious metals, 99.44, I believe, is considered pure, and so that's reasonable enough to say it's a consensus.
At least by Ivory Soap's definition. So I'll go with that.
Exactly.
I'll go with that. We have mathematicians, whenever you break down the scientist by their area of expertise, although it's overwhelmingly they affirm Darwinism, the mathematicians are always the lowest representative for those who believe in a naturalistic explanation for origins and the origin of life. But could I add something to contrast that evidence that you provide? Applied science is where the rubber often meets the road. Theoretical is one thing. Applied, and I'd like to think of the medical field where the ideas in biology, anatomy, and genetics are confronted with real-world tests. Mm-hmm. And of course, there's a very large percentage of U.S. doctors who reject strict Darwinism. I imagine you know that, including 34% of physicians.
Can I interject for just a moment?
Sure.
What is Darwinism?
Darwinism, the belief that by mutation and other effects, that random selection will increase the information content and the survivability of an organism.
See, I'm not familiar with that definition.
All right,
I'm familiar with the definitions of evolution.
Go ahead, you give me your definition.
They don't fit the definitions of Darwinism.
You give me your definition, and I'll agree with you.
If I had to define Darwinism,
neo-Darwinism.
What is neo-Darwinism?
Neo-Darwinism is adding the understanding of genetics and mutations to the original Darwinian.
So the modern synthesis of Mendelo-Darwinian mechanisms for evolution.
Yes.
Okay.
But go ahead.
You mentioned a few other things. I mean, like we're random selection and, you know, I mean, remember, natural selection is a deterministic process.
Yeah, I said random mutation.
Okay.
At least that's what I meant to say.
Random mutation. That's fine.
Okay,
then there's no problem.
Okay, yeah. Yeah. All right, very good. And so when you look at the physicians who are asked, and there's been a large study done by a reputable university institute, a significant percentage, and they break it down based on whether they're Protestant or Catholic or Jewish or Hindu, Buddhist, even atheist, and a significant percentage of all U.S. doctors indicate that either they don't believe in Darwinism or they're very uncomfortable with Darwinism or that they prefer intelligent design to Darwinism. And so that's not theoretical. You know, when we're studying paleontology, we look at the data, the facts, and then we draw conclusions. When you're working in the field of medicine, this is applied science. And so I find it significant that a lot of medical doctors in the U.S. think that Darwinism can't explain life.
Well, I again have problems with the use of the word Darwinism because that's
all right. Evolution. Now let me change it.
Understanding.
All right, let me change it because the doctors, I don't think, were answering as though 1859 was the snapshot that they had to restrain their answers in.
Darwin recognized something. Okay, he was maybe the first to get wide publication for what he had realized. He wasn't the first person to realize it. He wasn't the first person to notice it. He was the first person to get widespread publication for
right,
it.
Right.
Okay, and then he couldn't understand genetics. He didn't understand how these mutations were inherited. He knew they were inherited, and he made some very astute observations in how that was done, but he didn't have the mechanism that Mendel presented to him, which unfortunately, because Darwin couldn't read German, he didn't understand the significance of the document that he got from Mendel, and so we had to wait decades before we had the synthesis you're talking about.
And Mendel, of course, worked and wrote after Darwin published in 1859 Origin of Species, and Mendel is one of the many founders, the fathers of the branches of modern science who rejected natural origins and believed in a special creation.
Well, hold on, we need to clarify something.
Yeah.
Because you got to remember that when Mendel read Darwin, and Darwin was talking about those mechanisms that he didn't understand, Mendel had figured them out. And so Mendel wrote the manuscript and sent it to Darwin because he had figured out the mechanism that Darwin didn't yet know.
Well, he figured out a genetic mechanism that Darwin didn't know, but you could go all the way back to Aristotle And the mechanism, a specific mechanism, is secondary to a belief of whether or not there was special creation. Like Aristotle, in fact, Stephen Hawking recently reminded us that Aristotle believed that the universe was eternal. Now, we to this day were not able to be explicit on a mechanism that caused the Big Bang. And right. yet there are millions of people who believe that the universe came into existence through the naturalistic Big Bang. So you don't need, Mendel didn't need a mechanism to reject special creation, and neither did all the scientists like Copernicus and Isaac Newton and so many that I can name before Darwin and after Darwin, those who rejected a naturalistic explanation for
origins. Well, no, we have to clarify something here, because Mendel clearly did not reject a naturalistic explanation. And many of the other Christian scientists of his day and certainly since have not rejected a naturalistic creation. Being Christian, they may, as Ken Miller explains, you know, they may believe that there is a God behind all the natural events that occur, but they are still natural events. And if we can believe that whatever seemingly random events occur in our lives may be orchestrated by a higher being somehow, writing the script of how our lives play out, then certainly natural selection is one of those random processes as well, or seemingly random and guided by some higher power. The difference is, when you're talking about people that reject naturalistic explanations, then you're talking about creationism. We have to understand what the difference is, because evolution, you know, the most simplistic definition for evolution is it is an explanation of biodiversity, right? It is how life branches out and expands and creates more variations. And it is an explanation summarized as descent with inherent modification.
Right.
And the inherent should have in brackets genetic, because we now figured out that all the modifications are, of course, genetic. That's your definition. Now, most of the people who believe in God, statistically, accept this. They believe that there's a God behind it, and that's fine. I don't care about that. But when you're talking about special creation, you're talking about the creationism is defined as those who reject evolution specifically, in whole or in part, and who, in a more general respect, reject methodological naturalism, which is the scientific method. In other words, they are rejecting the natural explanations because they want something that I can only describe as magic. Abracadabra, I create as I speak. It's an Aramaic word. And so they are supplanting a magical explanation for a natural explanation.
All right. And thank you for that explanation. We put together a list of the fathers of the physical sciences, and we went back to their writings. And so we did the research ourselves here at Bob and Yurt Live to look at some of the giants in the physical sciences before Galileo and after. We include Mendel in our list based on his writings we found. But just a quick example for the audience, before Darwin, those who affirmed a special creation by God was Copernicus and Francis Bacon and Kepler and William Harvey and Pascal and Robert Boyle, Isaac Newton, Cuvier, John Dalton.
You have to clarify also again,
yeah.
Ken Miller, who is an evolutionary biologist, would also believe in a creator and an intelligent designer. But he is not a creationist, nor is he an intelligent design proponent. And most of the people that you're talking about, since they predate the creationism movement wherein they reject methodological naturalism, you can't call them creationists. Everybody, practically everybody, believed in a God once upon a time. But that doesn't mean that they reject natural explanations. I mean, when you throw Newton out there, no, Newton did not reject natural explanations.
No, maybe we're disagreeing, maybe we're misunderstanding one another. I'm not saying that Isaac Newton didn't believe that the laws of science, the laws of physics were real and that we could study them. I'm saying that Isaac Newton, for example, wrote more about the Bible and theology than he did about physics and math, and that he showed by his life, like Gregor Mendel, when many were rejecting science, he chose a monastic life for himself. When a lot of people were mocking religion, he did the opposite. So Isaac Newton, I think you'd have to say that Newton committed his life to the teachings of the Bible, to affirming the chronology of the Bible, and to Christian theology as he could study it in the scriptures. And so you can't claim that Isaac Newton believed in secular origins. He believed that the God of the Bible created, even based on the timing that we find, at least superficially, in the books of Genesis. Isaac Newton wrote an entire book on that subject, trying to correlate the Egyptian dynasties with biblical history as it is in the scriptures. So you'd have to say he's on our side.
I can't say that Newton was a creationist in the sense that you have modern creationists, when there's a point of division wherein you have natural explanations for something that, that heretofore did not have.
Well, how about this? How about this? In that Isaac Newton rejected Descartes' idea that the solar system formed by a condensing gas cloud, a spinning nebula, and he believed that the Earth was created, just like Johann Kepler did, about 6,000 years earlier by God, as stated in Genesis. That's what Isaac Newton not only believed, but he wrote extensively to try to persuade people that that was true. So can't you agree, at least on that? We have some common ground. Can't you agree?
We have to have, remember, there's two definitions for creationism. One, you have to reject evolution, which Newton didn't know anything about. It had never been presented. And two, he would have to reject methodological naturalism, which clearly he did not.
Isaac Newton would not have had to know about genetics to reject the notion that the sun and the earth were created 6,000 years earlier. Darwin has nothing to do, including Darwinism, has nothing to do with Isaac Newton's...
There's no such thing as Darwinism.
Okay.
Talk about the mechanism.
I'll try to never...
It's a 19th century terminology.
To save us time, I'll try to not say that for the rest of this interview. I'll try to avoid that. Anyway, so you can't agree that Isaac Newton, because he affirmed a 6,000-year Earth and that we were specially created by God as man and woman in the Garden of Eden, you can't agree that that means Isaac Newton took our side. You can't agree with that.
I can't say that Isaac Newton would have rejected evidence in favor of a priori doctrinal obligation.
Well, he had
However,
Aristotle.
It's not a point that I feel, it's not a point that I'm strong enough on that I would even bother to contest it.
Well, okay.
We're going back too far. It's irrelevant, really, what the man believed.
Well, that's great. Why don't we continue then? I'd like to, would it be okay with you if we aired a couple quotes from you from your first video, from the first foundational errors of creationism?
Okay.
All right, the first, and these are all really short, but let's do the first about what you have to know to be a creationist.
But to believe in creationism, you don't have to know anything about anything.
All right, now, this is a minor point, but I'm going to propose that you do this kind of thing a lot in your videos, and that this is not argumentation, it's populist. When you say to believe in creationism, you don't have to know anything about anything. So you're using that as an argument against creationism or people who believe in creation. And that argument, that's not a valid argument, right? That's an arbitrary argument.
No, that's a fact. What do you need to know to believe in creation? Really? What subjects do you need to be an expert in? What do you need to be studied in?
Okay.
In order to believe creationism? There's nothing.
All right. Well, here's why I think that that's propaganda, that it's populist. Because you say in the same video that many people have no idea about science. You're talking about everybody, the general public. They don't know how it works. They don't know what its assumptions are. They don't know what it means. They don't even know
what
its purpose is. And yet many of those people, millions of them, are evolutionists. They believe in evolution. So when you say to believe in creationism, you don't have to know anything about anything, The same is true with evolution. There are millions of people who don't know science who believe evolution. So that's why I'm saying you're making an arbitrary argument that's propaganda. It's not actual argumentation. It's not actual evidence. So now that I've explained my...
If you remember the actual quote, I said that in order to adequately understand evolution,
well, let's
know these other fields.
Well, let's
because
right.
there are a lot of people. I talk to people that believe ridiculous things. And I mean, you're going to always have people that believe ridiculous things that aren't educated and believe whatever somebody tells them. That's not what I endorse.
Yeah, I wasn't disputing what you said about evolution. I was disputing. Let's hear it one more time. It's like 5 seconds.
But to believe in creationism, you don't have to know anything about anything.
Now, don't you agree, Aaron Ra, that is not valid argumentation since it's also true about evolution?
No, it doesn't.
All right. I'm satisfied with you denying that.
Okay.
All right. You then go on to criticize.
I mean, if you want, I will happily say, you know, as I just did, there are a lot of people who believe preposterous nonsense about evolution, too,
right.
who actually accept evolution as, you know, they're told, but don't know anything about it.
Yeah. Same thing with creation.
Right.
Yeah, I agree. You and I have a lot of things we do agree on. You go on then to say that creationism is just a con job that depends on out of date and out of context quotes.
Largely, yes.
Okay, so I wanted to ask you about that because I've been reading and I've been interviewing and broadcasting for 20 years on this topic, and I've been reading for 40 years. And evolutionists used to criticize when we used Henry Morris's book, which was the beginning really of the modern movement, The Genesis Flood, because it was written in the 1960s and we would quote the references in it. And so they were old quotes. They were out of date. But I want to offer evidence that your criticism here is propaganda and that it itself is out of date because hundreds of creation publications, hundreds of articles and journals and magazines and books, including the many written by degreed scientists, are filled with current scientific references. Many of them, the latest findings within the last year. I just grabbed the newest Answers magazine from Ken Ham. I paged through the first half a dozen or so articles with scientific references, and 80% of them are from 2011. There's a couple that go back to, you know, earlier in this century, and I saw two from the 1990s. So this is not a matter of deep interpretation. This is simply looking at the dates that are referenced to the journals and, you know, scientific publications. So I think that your criticism is out of date. And in fact, creationists have been publishing reams of material based on the very latest scientific reporting. Stop the tape. Hey, this is Bob Enyart. That is our first installment of my interview with Aaron Ra. We've really enjoyed it. I think it's significant, so check it out on our website, realsciencefriday.com. That's realsciencefriday.com. By the way, that's housed online at kgov.com, where Bob Enyart Live airs 5 days a week. And you could go to our store and browse our science department. We have so many fun science resources, DVDs, books, debates with atheists, Darwinists, evolutionists. So I think you'll really enjoy it, including a debate I had with a geophysicist on the age of the Earth. Fun stuff. So check it out at realsciencefriday.com. Click on the store and then the science department, or call us at 1-800-8-ENYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. May God bless you.
Marriage is the very foundation of human society, but it was God's idea to begin with. What is God's plan for your marriage? How can you know? What can you do to learn and grow with your spouse to honor God in your marriage? Pastor Bob Enyart covers this deeply personal and critically important topic in his teaching series, God's Plan for Marriage. Order by calling 800-8-ENYART or online at kgovstore.com. Now you can subscribe to Bob Enyart's monthly Bible study DVDs. These verse-by-verse Bible study videos are great for family Bible study or even starting your own neighborhood Bible study. Each month, you get 4 or 5 Bible study sessions on 2 DVDs. You can subscribe by calling 1-800-8-ENYART or online at kgovstore.com. That's kgovstore.com.